God bless you, Brother Slade. Thank you so very much for allowing us, my daughter and I, to be on the Gospel for the Glory of Jesus on station KRAJ 100.9 FM here in the Antelope Valley. And it is a wonderful time. The other thing I wanted to make mention to you, Mother's Day had just passed. I recognize that. But my daughter, the youngest of all of my children, gave a word on last Sunday that I wanted you to hear. So today, I'm going to let her share that word with you just as soon as we have a word of prayer. So remember that on every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the Livingstone Cathedral of Worship, 37721 North 100th Street, you're welcome to be with us. Our pastor's name is Pastor Rodney Rivers, and we'd be glad to see you there if you want to come by and you don't have a church home. Let us pray, and the next voice that you will hear will be Angela Hearn. She doesn't usually like for people to refer to her as a preacher, but Lord have mercy, you're going to be blessed by the word that you hear today. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to be together. Thank you for mothers everywhere. We give you praise, glory, and honor. Bless this word today and put a special blessing and anointing on Angela as she shares this word with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am so pleased to be here with you all again this morning. I am most honored to be before you. I thank God for this opportunity. I am tickled that my father, my papa, Bishop Henry Hearns, has allowed me to share. And thank you, Brother Slade, for this opportunity as well. What I'm bringing to you this morning was actually spoken at a women's conference at my sister's church in Ridgecrest. And the whole theme of that conference was de-stress and refresh. And I thought, Lord, what do I say in tandem with de-stress and refresh? And, you know, as ladies in particular, we have a lot of stressors to deal with. Raising children, working, being a wife, or being a single parent, or being a single woman. Living safe, that's a job all on its own. So I'm thinking, Lord, what do you want me to say? And what he gave me was the topic, Lost in Search of Me. Wow. And it's kind of a different topic, but it's so true, because the truth is, folks, we look for what we call happiness. What happens to me makes me happy. And the truth is, happiness is temporary, but joy can be everlasting, because it's something only God can give, okay? But what he was sharing with me is, in this pursuit of happiness, or in trying to find who I really am, we sometimes fill it up with stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with who we really are. We see it all the time with this reality TV stuff. I really hate those shows. No love lost against you who like those things. I hate them. But anyway, the reason why I don't like them is because they're not reality. And what they do show is a lot of superfluous stuff. And I bought a $6,000 purse, and I bought $5,000 earrings, and that's supposed to make me happy. But the truth is, they're not. Many times they are not, because they're trying to find something to fill the void that only can be met through Christ.
Amen.
So, Lost in Search of Me. Here we go. For those of you who don't know, I am a therapist by trade. So I kind of think along those lines. So in the world of clinical therapy, we work with case studies, okay? So this is what we're going to do today. Our first case study is with a young woman I named Samantha. And Samantha is found in the New Testament in St. John 4. You got that for us?
I'll find it in a few minutes.
While he's looking for that, I just want to say we were at a function many years ago, and there was this big Greek man. He looked Greek to me, I don't know. But anyway, this big Greek man, and he was the keynote speaker for this event. And he looked at my father, and he says, "Sir, I don't know you, but you are a stealth bomber." And we kind of sat there like, whoa, you know? And then he looked at me, he said, "And you are too." Well, I was like, whoa. And if you start, well, that's another subject, but I'm just saying that it is an honor to serve with a stealth bomber. So, Bishop, start at verse 15.
May I start at verse 11?
Sure.
"The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come to this to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not your husband. And he said, You said this truly. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our father worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believeth me, the hour cometh when thou shalt neither be in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem. You know not what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him."
Okay, thank you. I'm pretty sure that we are all familiar with this story of the Samaritan woman at the well, hence the name Samantha. So let's look at this. This woman was married five times, and we don't know how many men were before or in between the five times or after the five times. And then there's this other man, we call him number six, but we don't know who was in between the fifth husband and this other man that she just left from. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, what are the possibilities that led to this multiple marriage situation? Now, we know that a lot of times father absenteeism plays a role. And for a daughter, fathers are just, wow. We learn what to expect from a man from our fathers.
Mm-hmm.
We learn how to respect men by how we interact with our fathers. We learn how to disrespect men, depending on the nature of our relationship with our fathers. I bless God for an awesome daddy. He's daddy, and that says enough. That's another subject within itself. But somewhere along the line, this woman was looking for some form of validation. She was looking for some love. She was looking for something to say, I count, I matter. Somebody needs to validate me. And unfortunately, it didn't work five times. So it could have been the fact that her relationship with her father wasn't right. It could have been that she was exposed to molestation, that she was sexually abused or raped. There are a number of things that it could have been. But what we can say is that this woman was looking for something, obviously. Uh-huh. Obviously, we can say that. So we have to speed this up because my time is ticking. So I want to get it in as best I can. And I'm praying that these seeds that are planted, if whatever I don't finish this morning, that the Holy Spirit himself will finish it in your life.
Amen.
To meet any need that you might have in Jesus' name. So here we have five husbands, and the one she's with isn't hers. But oh my God, when she met the truth,
uh-huh.
When she met the truth,
uh-huh.
Who is none other than Jesus the Christ, the story goes on to say that she dropped her water pot,
uh-huh.
And she went running,
uh-huh.
Into the city and said, come see a man who told me everything that I have done. And what also was revealed is that this woman knew the word.
Yes.
Because she said, I perceive that you are a prophet. How would she know that? She said, because a prophet or Messiah, right, that she called him later on in the scripture, Messiah says that it says that Messiah will come and will tell us all things.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, well, guess what? You're talking to him. Hey, God, you're talking to him. And something clicked in her spirit and she couldn't wait no more. So when she met truth,
uh-huh.
And when she went from a spectator or just a hearer of the word and met truth, it changed not only her perspective, but it changed her purpose.
Uh-huh.
The water was insignificant. Forgot all about it. It became, I got to let them know. Even them men that I had contact with, I got to let them know. Uh-huh. I was wrong.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so were you. But there's somebody who can make it right. Come with me. Glory to God. So then she found herself. She found herself when she came in touch with the truth. And no longer was she in the outer courts, but the Lord Jesus himself ushered her in to the inner courts with him, with sweet communion with the Savior himself. And it made her life forever changed. That's case study number one. I'll just talk about case study number two. And that's the story of Sister Martha. We've heard of this story. Oh, Mary, don't you weep. Oh, Martha, don't you moan, right? And two sisters. And they were the sisters of Lazarus. And so Jesus was going to be in town. And, you know, they didn't have cell phones, obviously, back then. I don't know how they communicated. Unless it was face-to-face, I'm not real sure how that happened. But in any case, Martha said, hey, Jesus, listen, come on over to my house. I am a great cook. I will hook you up with whatever your favorite dish is, whether it's fish, whether it's homemade biscuits, I don't know, blueberry or fig cobbler. I don't know what they might have had back then. But I imagine this sister, she put it on. So in walks Jesus and he sits down, I'm sure, and rests his feet. And that's found in John 11. And read the whole chapter. Just read the whole chapter.
Yeah.
thank you, Bishop. So comes to eat. I can't even imagine being face to face with Jesus. I really don't even know what that's like. And I bless God that He's with us. He lives inside of us through the precious Holy Spirit. But I mean, just to be able to touch Him, I can't even imagine. So anyway, Mary, the sister, she's like, I gotta seize the moment. I'm with Jesus. So I'm going to sit right here at His feet and just look up like a baby bird waiting to be fed. She was in the inner court, whereas, bless Martha's heart, she was on the outer court. And she was more concerned with serving Jesus than worshiping Him.
Amen, amen, amen.
And sometimes we get that confused, brothers and sisters. We can get so driven, we get lost again, see? We're trying to find our importance in our service to God, right? Well, I tithe and I'm on the usher board and I clean up and I. When the truth is, y'all, sit at His feet. My daddy sings a song, "There is room at the foot of the cross." There is room, Lord. I keep going there. But there's room. Somebody needs to hear that. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too bad that could ever keep you out of the presence of the Most High. So Martha became angry because she was doing all this busy work. She was serving Him. And it's like, Lord Jesus, come on, man. You see this girl, old lazy thing. She ain't lifted a finger to do nothing. She glow just it, sitting glow here. Glow. What's wrong? Oh, but here comes the truth again. He said, Martha, Martha.
Yes.
You are encumbered with so many things, so many troubles. Whereas your sister has chose. She's chosen what's not going to ever leave her. It can't be taken away because I've given it to her. And that is my word, and that is my truth. Jesus loved her enough to tell her the truth.
He did.
Now, we don't know what she did with that truth, but as we close this message, what will you do with the truth? The truth can only be found in the presence of God. Isaiah 6, is that right, Bishop?
That is right.
Isaiah 6, 5 through 7. He says, woe is me. I'm a wretch and I'm undone. And I'm dealing with folks around me who have unclean lips just like me. But when he confessed, as the scripture says, 1 John 1:9.
Uh-huh.
If we confess our sins.
Yes.
He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So folks, I'm gone over my time. But I want to just say, nothing else can fill your void but Jesus. He wants you in His presence. He offers, read Revelation 3:20. Read it. Because He offers to sup with you. And what that means is He wants to share His most intimate heart with you. And guess what? He loves us in such a way, oh my God, that makes us feel like we're the only ones. Beloved, He loves you. You don't have to be lost any further. Come to Jesus and be found.